Can you give it up for your pastor and his family this morning? And I just feel this, and I don't normally do this, Pastor Darrell, but can I just speak a prophetic word over you and also over this house? You know, you've been here now, I believe, since 2017, am I right? I know there's people in this room, you may have been here even before Pastor Darrell was ever here. And when Pastor Darrell got here, you know, I'm speaking spirits. I don't know much about the history of this church whatsoever. But as Pastor Darrell, you know, you can't walk when your legs are messed up. And I believe, you know, when Pastor Darrell and his family, this is what the Lord spoke to me in my spirit. When Pastor Darrell and his family got here to the church, Covington, this church had a walking problem. Spiritually, it was hard to walk. There were some people here that were crawling. There were some people here that were needing help. There were some people here that were believing God for the future and believing God for the best for this house. And I believe Pastor Darrell and his family, they've been running. The leadership volunteers of this church have been running since 2017. And we can look around and say, look what the Lord has done. But I truly believe, and I said this here as I was here this past summer, that you have not seen anything yet at this church. But listen to me, I believe as Pastor Darrell heals, I don't believe this was brought on by God, but I believe that as Pastor Darrell has been out over these last several weeks, even into the summer, that God has been doing something in the volunteers and the leaders of this ministry. Because I believe where God is taking this church, Pastor Darrell can't take it there. Pastor Kristen can't take it there. Their family alone cannot take it there. But I believe as Pastor Darrell heals, he's going to heal, he's going to recover fully. But I believe as his leg begins to strengthen again, I believe that the leadership and the volunteer base of this church is going to strengthen in such a powerful way that when the masses come walking into this house and the leadership will be able to handle the capacity of what God has for this place. Lift up your hands all across this place. God, we thank you for the future of this church. God, I speak that over Pastor Darrell, Pastor Christian, their entire family, all of the leadership, the volunteers. God, give them a second wind to keep on running. Give them a second wind to finish this year of 2023, stronger than they've ever seen. More souls saved, more people baptized, more families put back together. God, send in the lost at any cost in this house where they can be restored and they can be used in such a powerful way. Because God, we know that you are the God that turns impossible situations into possible realities. And we give you all of the praise and all of the honor and all of the glory. And if you receive this word for this house and your family, I want you to shout a big amen all across this place. Can you clap your hands one more time? You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Turn with me very quickly. We're going to read several verses of scripture this morning. We're going to start at Acts chapter 2, two verses of scripture there, verses 17 and 18. And it says this, and it shall come to pass. Somebody say pass. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see what? Visions. And your old men shall what? Dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Then we go to Joel chapter 2, verse 23, and it says this, be glad. Somebody say be glad. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain. Somebody say the former rain, and somebody say the latter rain in the first month. We're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 30 here in just a moment, but the verses that I just read to you, there is no doubt that we are living in some of the most exciting but also most crucial times of church history and in the kingdom of God. But the verses that I just read, they tell us many things. But what I want to focus on is that we being as believers and part of the body of Christ and part of the church, the capital C church, I want us to focus that we are a part of a purpose that is much bigger than ourselves. How many of you understand that this morning? That your life is not just for you, but God has something greater for you. God has something more in store for you. And I truly believe that the biggest battles are always fought right before the biggest breakthroughs. I truly believe that with everything that is within me. And I want to share with you this morning kind of what I call a prophetic parallel version with you that is very relevant to us today. And it is found in the story of David in 1 Samuel chapter 30, because I have learned in my life that destiny is often delivered through the doorway of difficulty. I'm going to say that again. Destiny is often delivered through the doorway of difficulty. And we can begin in 1 Samuel chapter 30. We can begin to look at David's life to see God's timeless and endless kingdom principles at work in his life. This text in 1 Samuel chapter 30, as we begin to read, it shows us the land of Ziklag before Zion. Or in other words, the battle before the breakthrough. Look at somebody one more time and smile real big and say, neighbor, there may be a battle in my life, but it indicates my breakthrough. Now this time I want you to say it like you really believe it. Say, neighbor, say, there may be a battle in my life, but it indicates my breakthrough. Let's examine this. 1 Samuel chapter 30, it says this. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south of Ziklag and attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. Watch this. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was burned with fire. Somebody say fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. And then David and the people who were with him, watch this, lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Have you ever been in a moment in your life where it has felt like you've cried until you could not cry anymore? You prayed sometimes to where you felt, my prayers are hitting the ceiling, but it does not feel like God is hearing what I'm saying. Maybe it's just you. But you've prayed and you've cried. You've prayed, you've hollered, you've hit things, and you have cried. But yet it seems like nothing is changing around me. And in 1 Samuel chapter 30, David's men lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And it says David's two wives and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. But watch this verse. Now David was greatly distressed. He was called, but he was distressed. He was anointed, but he was distressed. He was listening to the voice of God, but he was what? Distressed. It wasn't because of his lack of faith. It wasn't because he didn't love God. It was simply because when your back is up against the wall and you cannot go to the left and you cannot go to the right and you are faced with reality right in front of you, when life gets so hard that you don't know how you're going to make it another day, things start to happen in your mind. They start to happen. Listen, stress is something. Stress can kill you. Do you understand that? You can have nothing wrong with you in your body, but the moment that stress, I believe, not is it just a medical condition, I believe it's a spirit. And stress comes on you and it begins to make you think different things. It begins to do things to your heart and your blood pressure, and it sends your body into a downward spiral. And David is greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But watch this. David, it says, strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Somebody say the battle before the breakthrough. I want to lay this foundation with you for a moment, and this is going to be the best 4 hours of your life, so I hope you brought a lunch today. But David was anointed and called by God. But what David is going through in 1 Samuel chapter 30, what he is going through is a catastrophic event. This is not just an ordinary battle. This is not just an ordinary situation. He's not late on a bill. His tire didn't get flat. And let me just stop right here and say this. Isn't it amazing the small things in our life that we lose our victory over? Maybe something's not working the way we thought it would work out, or situations may not be happening, and yet what's happening in David's life right here, David is facing pure devastation. Because for almost 17 years, starting when David was 8 years old, he was anointed to be king over Israel. And ever since the anointing came upon his life, I like to say this, sometimes your anointing will attract trouble. Anybody ever been there but besides me? Pastor Rob Parsley told me this one time. He said, the more light you give off, the more bugs you attract. Anybody ever witnessed that before? The more light, the more good you try to do, the more saved you try to be. It's like the enemy, it's like there is a target on your back, and the enemy just tries to throw everything that he can to stop you. Why? Because he knows where your destiny is, and he doesn't want you to get to your destiny. So for almost 17 years, starting when David was called and anointed, he has been literally on the run. He's been trying to find a place to fit in. He knew he was called. He knew he was anointed. He knew he was supposed to be on the throne, but yet his time had not arrived for him to be on the throne. And there is nothing more complicated than knowing that you were anointed for something, but yet you can't get to it yet. And there is an inward battle that begins to happen because you know you're anointed for it, but your time has not yet come. And so now, this proves to us that you can be called and still face a crisis. You can be saved and love God and still have to go through things in your life. The Word of God tells us in Matthew 5, verse 45, that God sends rain on the just and the what? Unjust. We often think that because we are called and committed to God that we won't go through difficult times. But a lot of times the truth is very quite the opposite, because Jesus said in the world we would have trouble, but not to fear, because I have already overcome the world. So therefore, when a standard is raised up against me, he said, when the winds and the waves are raised up against you, where the floods are raised up against you, I will raise up a standard against it. So when we think about that, and when we look at the life of David, our faith does not stop life from happening, but it carries us through life. Because I have faith in God, it may not stop me from having to go through a death in my family. When I leave here today, I'll be going and attending my uncle's funeral about 35 minutes from here. Because I have faith in God, didn't stop that situation from happening. But the moment you're standing over a casket, it is by faith that I'm able to walk it out. It is by faith that when people leave me, I'm able to walk it out. It is by faith that when the money may not be right, we're able to walk it out. It is by faith that when situations do not add up and it doesn't look like our plan or like we thought it would be, yet it is by faith. I grew up hearing a song, and he walks with me, and he talks with me. And he tells me that I am his own. So therefore, when I'm in the valley, he's got me in the palm of my hands. When I'm on the mountaintop, he has me in the palm of his hands. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? Fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, it comforts me. You anoint my head with oil. So in other words, he says, I've anointed you for the good. And you better believe if you're anointed for the good, you're anointed for the bad. And so David, in his life in 1 Samuel chapter 30, he has been what I like to call a fugitive for a very long time. This horrific, hellacious hardship comes right before David's ascent to the throne. I told you, for over 17 years he's been on the run. David was at the age of 8 years old when he was anointed to be king over Israel. He did not receive the throne and sit on the throne of Israel until he was 30 years of age. So there was an 18-year period of time from the time he was anointed until he actually sat on the throne. And the 18-year period of time was simply known as David's process to his promise. And a lot of times we don't like the process to the promise. Don't look at me so holy this morning. We don't like the process to the promise. David is getting ready to possess his promise as king over Israel, but David, he totally does not see this coming in 1 Samuel chapter 30. Because of all the hardships, he says, God, I've been through everything I could go through, and I'm just going to walk this thing out until I get to the throne in Israel, and I know I've been through everything I need to go through. He's been living on the run for a very long time. And we read in 1 Samuel chapter 30 that David returns to Ziklag after a three-day journey. Somebody say three-day journey. He's weary. He's expecting to find rest. But instead, he shows up and the city has been attacked. Win the battle. They have the spoils of war, and they are coming back to the place of Ziklag, the place that they call home, expecting to find rest. Pastor Darrell told you I have three beautiful children, 8 years old, 4 years old, 1 year old, and one on the way. Y'all please pray for us. And we got one on the way. We'll be here in November. Carrie and I will celebrate 10 years of marriage next year. And so when we think about all that, sometimes when I leave the house, whether I go into the office or maybe I'm going on a ministry trip or whatever, when I leave the house, sometimes, or me and Carrie and I go on a date. This happened just the other day. Went on a date and we hired a babysitter. They came over to the house and we left the house one way. But yay, though I walked through the door. When I walked back through that door, it just looked like a tornado just hit the house. It wasn't the same way that we left it. David's home was not the same way that he left it. It was burned with fire. And his loved ones and many others were taken prisoner. And every remaining person wants to stone him, but then it says, David encouraged himself. In other words, David, in some translations it says, strengthened himself in the Lord. Think about that for a moment, because we have to take courage from what we see in David's life right here, because things are always at their worst right before they are at their best. David had to push past how he felt. David had to push past what others were saying about him. David had to push past the anxiety, push past the stress, push past what the enemy was trying to tell him in his mind. And this may sound kind of cliche for some people in this room, but I believe there's some people here that you've been saying, what's going on in my life? Why does it seem like trial after trial, battle after battle, issue after issue? And I guarantee you there's people in the room or maybe watching online that you have even thought about giving up on everything that is around you. But we have to do like David, and we have to push. And this may sound cliche, but what is push? Praise until something begins to happen. I've lost a lot of things in my life. I've lost a lot of time. I've lost a lot of friends. I've lost a lot of money, but I've never lost my praise. I want you to understand that right now. I've lost a lot of things in my life, but I've never lost my praise, and I've never lost my fight. And let me tell you something. As my great-grandmother told me on her deathbed, dying at the age of 94 years old, she said, Randy, you can lose everything that you have. You can lose all of your money. You can lose everything that you have. Family can walk away from you. But if you still have Jesus, you have a reason to praise, and you have a reason to fight. It's not over until God says it's over. So we don't wait until the battle is over, but we stand tall on our feet and we shout right now. We shout you, God. We shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Not because I have it all together. Y'all gonna make me preach today. Not because I have it all together. Not because everything is okay. But I praise him. Not for what he's done. Not for what he's doing. Not for what he's going to do. But just for who he is. He is the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. And if he never does another thing, he's been better than good to me. Would somebody give him praise today? Sit down for a moment. We have to praise until something happens. What is praise? Praise is an action. You can't be quiet and praise God. Praise is an action, also known as a verb. It is something that you do. So in other words, with no praise and with no action, there is no breakthrough. If they would have stayed quiet, Jericho's walls never would have came crumbling down. There was a season of silence, but seasons don't last forever. The next season always wins. That's a prophetic word for some people in this room today. You better be glad that the next season always wins. Are you hearing me? Winter has to give it up to spring. Winter doesn't have an option. It may linger for a little while. That's why people get sick. It's still cold. It's hot. It's all this stuff. But yet, there comes a time where winter has to release and spring has to flourish. And I prophesy in your life today that winter is releasing. I feel God in this, but winter is releasing and springtime is about to flourish. Somebody say the battle is always before the breakthrough. Praise unlocks your faith and faith activates your blessing. We'll say that again. Praise unlocks your faith because there's something about praising God that when you praise him, you can't help but feel better. Are you here? I have been through some of the craziest situations in my life, but when I stood at an altar, or I stood up in my home, or I stood up in my office, and I began to give him praise, not for what I see in the natural, but for what I know his promises on my life, I begin to praise him, and suddenly I feel better. And then all of a sudden, the enemy gets confused when you praise God in those situations, because how can they praise him when they just lost their family? How can they praise him when they're about to file for bankruptcy? How can they praise him when the business venture did not work out? How can they praise him when their child is strung out on drugs and alcohol? How can they praise him? Because I don't praise him by my condition. I praise him because I know the master who holds the stormy seas in the palm of his hands. I know that he has my tomorrow in his sight. That is why I praise him. I'm almost done. So in other words, we have to praise God, for it's not about what we don't see yet, but it's for what we know what he is about to do. Because it is by faith we live daily. So when we push, when we praise until something happens, we push towards the goals that God has called us to push towards. We push past how we feel. We push past any naysayers and any haters that we may have in our life. We push past them. We push because we will succeed. And in the end, we always win. We have to understand that the end has already been written, and no matter what the enemy does in our life, we shall always what? Win. So you need to know that this is the battle before the breakthrough. You cannot give up where you are. David then encourages himself in the Lord, even if it appears that everyone is against you. Musicians, you can go ahead and come. I'm going to close right here. I'm going to try to close right here. I told you, we still got 3 more hours, so just hang on. If we go back to 1 Samuel chapter 16, David was chosen. Somebody say chosen. David was chosen to be king when he was anointed as an 8-year-old boy. But I want you to understand something about David's life. David was chosen but was not expected. David was chosen, but was not expected. In other words, David was not a first-round draft pick. David was not even invited to the house when the prophet showed up to anoint the head of the future king. He didn't even get an invitation. His father said, just go watch the sheep and let your brothers handle this one. But then the prophet showed up. And he looked at everybody. He said, the right one, and I'm paraphrasing, the right one is not here. He is not here. He said, go get your other son. So let me just give you a small word of encouragement, and you don't have to pay anything extra for this. A small word of encouragement for you this morning. It doesn't matter if man picks you. Because when God has his hand on you, I'm about to shout all over this room today. When God has his hand on your life, it doesn't matter where they put you, because what was once in the back has now been reversed and the tables have been turned and it is now in the front. So in other words, what used to be talked about has now stepped into the front. What used to be looked over has now been stepped into the front. And I believe there's some people in this room today, you've been looked over, you've been counted out, but God says, I'm about to put you right in the front of the line, because there is a destiny for you. Everyone was against David when he was chosen. Who does he think he is? He's 8 years old. This is never going to happen. Be very careful when you even see your children and your teenagers and your young people receiving something from God, because David was 8 and was anointed to be king. Could a young child here at the Church Covington be the next president of the United States? Are you hearing me? Could a child walking around here be some of the next leadership of this church once they get to the of age of accountability and everything? Could a child from this church be one of the next primary doctors and physicians that discover something in our society that blows the minds of the entire world? Could our children be the next businessmen and businesswomen to fund the kingdom of God and the vision of this house, to see something powerful begin to happen? Are you picking up what I'm putting down today? He was chosen, but was not expected. But David, and I promise, musicians, y'all get up here, because I'm going to close right here. If y'all don't come up here and save me, I'm not closing. David, in his greatest moment of distress, back is up against the wall. David had to remind himself. Because when you're facing devastation, there comes a moment where you have to remind yourself what God said. Because it's easy to give up in those moments. But you have to remind yourself, God made me for this. You have to remind yourself that there is something on the other side of this. There is another level on the other side of this. There is a new dimension on the other side of this. And he had to remember and remind himself that I am chosen. And if God brought me to this place, then I know for a fact that he did not bring me here to leave me where I am, but he brought me here to carry me through to another level. Because my destiny is on the other side of this, my promise is on the other side of this, and I can't die without receiving my promise. David had to stay strong on his word. If there's anything we need in the season that we're living in right now, it is the word of the living God. We need a people that will stay strong on this word, live by this book, walk by this book, talk by this book, learn by this book, lead your marriages by this book, do everything by this book, because signs, wonders, and miracles and the power of the Holy Spirit is still active. And it is for today. What David had been going through was his process to his promise. David's process was a very, very painful process. But sometimes, and Pastor Darrell, you know this now, even just physically, sometimes we can become so engrossed with our pain that we miss the point of what's happening in our life. There's some people in this room today, or maybe watching online, that you have carried around pain and hurt on the inside of you. And you have placed your pain in a place to where it is on display in your life. And you walk by it every morning and claim it, that's why I'm hurt. That's why I am the way that I am. That person did that to me, so that's why I act this way. That's why I'm in the situation that I'm in. And sometimes we can get so engrossed with our pain that we miss the point. Pain can traumatize you to a point where you can't think clearly, you can't reason with things, and it becomes very difficult for you to figure things out in your life. You can have pain so deep that you lose who you are. You lose your sense of self. You lose your personality. You become a total different person. I have a friend right now that is going through a very crazy situation in his life and in his family. 6 months ago, he was a total different person. But pain has a way of shifting you and changing your life. And if you stay in that vein, it will end up destroying your life forever. And it will be the things that you do not fight off will eventually have to be fought off by your children, by your grandchildren, and by your great-grandchildren. So if we take a moment and stand where we are. I've come to tell you today that as David was distressed, overwhelmed, I believe he was crying. As David was crying, I've come to tell some people in this room that God is using your tears to water your destiny and your promise. I don't know how many of you have been laid up at night just crying and thinking about how things could have been or should have been or in your life, but God says there comes a moment where the crying is over. But your pain is never in vain. Your pain is never in vain. Don't let the pain stop you from being who you are. David could not let the distractions take his identity. There is purpose that is always locked inside of your pain. In other words, David had to make a decision that he had to reclaim his territory. He had to put his foot down and said, the enemy didn't give me this, so the enemy can't take it away from me. And it says in Isaiah chapter 58 verse 8, my prayer for you today, your light will break forth like the dawn. And your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness, watch this, will go before you. And the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. So in other words, when things from your past try to come up behind you, the glory of the Lord, the glory of the Lord will sweep it away. Wherever you walk, the glory of the Lord is following you. It is going behind you, and everything that tries to creep up, everything that came from a failed marriage, everything that came from a failed financial situation, everything legally that tried to creep back up on you, everything that's ever been in your past, when it tries to creep back up, God says, my glory will wipe it all away. My glory will shift your situation as you praise him in the midst of your darkest moment, as you worship him in the midst of your heavy burden. God says, I'll wipe the tears from your eyes and I will cause the sun to shine again. I don't know who I'm talking to, but the Lord says the rain and the storm is over. It's time for you to walk this thing out. Everybody standing all across this house. Somebody say, the battle is always before the breakthrough. 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 18, I'm done. David praised. He asked for the ephod. If you dive into this, he said, bring me the ephod. The ephod is a garment only to be worn in a time of praise and celebration. He put on a garment of praise in a very depressing situation. He put it on and it confused the enemy. He began to praise. He began to worship. God began to move. And then it says in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 18, it says this, David recovered what? All. I'm gonna say it till y'all get it this morning. David recovered what? Oh, I'm gonna say that again. David what? Recovered what?
all.
So in other words, do you think it's by happenstance that the enemy couldn't kill the people? The enemy could only take them prisoner. Because God knew he's going to need these people. David had been in Ziklag and he was supposed to be on his way to the throne in Israel. David, the word Ziklag, literally translated in the Hebrew, is the word comfortable place. David had gotten comfortable in the wrong place. His anointing and calling was not in Ziklag. His anointing and calling was on the throne in Israel. And even if God had to send a storm to shake some things up, because let me tell you something, if you will not move, God will definitely send something that will cause you to move. And so David is there in a comfortable place, and everything that he knows as normal has been shaken. But you can't lose when God is on your side. Why? Because destiny is often delivered through the doorway of difficulty. Nothing ever catches God off par. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's all-knowing. If your trial is not God's sin, it is always going to be God used. And this is it, and we're going to pray. Every destiny is accompanied by a whole lot of difficulties. But the Lord knows how to deliver us out of what we are facing. 2 Peter 2 and 9 reassures us, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. So in other words, when we're in a difficult moment, he is on the way. And with every battle that we face, there's always a reward. He is on the way, and his reward is with him. Because whether you realize it or not, God has made you to be an overcomer. He's made you to be blessed. He's made you to be prosperous. He's made you to be the head and not the tail. He's made you to be more than enough. He's made you to be confident. He's made you to be an amazing finisher. He's made you to be a visionary. He's made you to be independent. He's made you to be kind. He's made you to be free. He's made you to have forward thinking. He's made you to live out loud. He's called you and made you to be a believer in his word. He has made you to take your destiny by storm. He has made you to be covered by his blood, hitting the enemy every chance that you get with the word of the living God. So that means if he has made you for all of those things, it's time for your breakthrough. Every head bowed and every eye closed all across this place. If you're in this house today and you say, Pastor Randy, I've been facing some battles. I know I'm called. I know I'm destined. I love God. I know I'm anointed. But it doesn't feel like I'm called right now. It doesn't feel like God even loves me right now. I'm praying, but it doesn't even feel like he can hear any of my prayers. But if you're here today and you say, Pastor Randy, I want to praise him in the midst of the battle. I want to worship him in the midst of the crazy moments of my life. Because I don't want to stay where I am. I want to go to the next level in him that he has for me. If you're in this house and you say, Pastor Randy, that's me. I want to get past the battle that I'm facing right now. I want to leave it behind and I want to step into my promise. If that's you, just let it be known very quickly by the lifting of your hand. And I want to pray with you today. I see hands going up all across this house. All across this house, I see you. Here's what I want us to do. I want you to grab your neighbor by the hand right now. When you grab your neighbor by the hand, that signifies unity. And where unity resides, where there is unity, the enemy cannot reside. And as I pray this morning, I want you to do something. I don't want you to pray for what you need. I want you to pray for the neighbor that you're holding hands with. Because as Job prayed for his friends, that qualified him to receive double in his life. And I believe as you pray for your neighbor and for the person that's beside you, God says your reward is going to be double anything you could ever think, dream, or even imagine. God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, in the matchless and mighty name of Jesus, I thank you for every single person under the sound of my voice today. God, I decree and I declare over every person in the room and every person online, God, their battle does not define them. Their situation does not define them. But God, they are called to do your will and to do your way in their life. And you would not have given them the destiny in their heart and in their spirit for them to die where they are, for them to be defeated where they are. God, you have called them to overcome the situation. And God, I thank you that you are lifting them up in this season and you are causing the windows of heaven to open up on their behalf. God, as you brought the Israelites through the Red Sea to escape Pharaoh and his army, and when they got to the end of the sea and into the next place and into the next step, you caused the Red Sea to collapse on Pharaoh and his army. God, I thank you that the Red Sea is collapsing over every one of their enemies. It's collapsing over every spirit. It's collapsing over every naysayer. It's collapsing, God. You are causing the thing to shift in their favor. And I decree and declare right now that they get in line with your will and with your promise for their life. And God, every person battling depression, anxiety, and stress in this room, let it be lifted off of their shoulders. And let them know that their yesterdays are not their best days, but the days that are in front of them are more beyond anything they could ever think, beyond anything they could ever dream, beyond anything they could ever imagine. And we thank you, God, that every battle in our life comes right before a breakthrough. And today we take a moment and we say thank you, because we know that our breakthrough is on the way. If you believe it, when I count to three, I want you to throw up your hands like lightning rods towards heaven. And I want you to give the biggest shout of an amen that you can, because when you say amen, I feel the Holy Spirit in this room today. When you say amen, I believe it's going to hit your family. When you say amen, I believe it's going to hit your finances. When you say amen, I believe it's going to hit the health problem. When you say amen, I believe it's going to hit your mind. When you say amen, I believe it's going to hit your spirit. When you say amen, it is saying it is done, and it is so on earth as it is in heaven. 1, 2, 3, come on. Say amen, and let's worship him right now. Come on, let's worship him right now. Let's praise him right now. Let's praise him right now. Let's magnify the name of the Lord. He is great and greatly to be praised. Beside him there is no other. God, we worship you. God, we thank you. God, we worship you. God, we thank you. God, we worship you. God, we thank you. The battle is over, and we're stepping into our promise. If you believe it, let's give God some praise all across this house. Come on, let's give him some praise all across this house. It is done, and it is finished. When he said it is finished, it is already done. Walk into your destiny today. Walk into your anointing today. Walk into your freedom. Come on and lift those hands one more time. Say, God, we thank you. God, we thank you. God, we thank you.
You've got a lion inside of us. Get up and praise the Lord.
Say it again. Oh.
So come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside.
Spirit. Awesome.